This is Abundance. I'm your host, Dane Allred. And every week on Abundance, we celebrate a wonderful world full of wonderful blessings. I'm thankful for the bounty of this earth, and I hope to stir the desire in you to acknowledge the good in your life. Everyone has difficulties, problems, complaints, suffering. You may even have a crisis in your life right now. I know the world is a far from peaceful place, but one of the ways to change the way we are feeling right now, the way the world is today, is to focus on what is right with our world and what is right in your life today. One small step at a time, we can change the world from a mass of pessimism, negativity, and hopelessness to a world where everyone can be optimistic, positive, and hopeful. You'll see how this attitude has changed my life today as we examine the 1,001 things I'm thankful for. I call it my list of 1,001 thanks. We'll see how reminders, number 766 from my list, may enrich our other experiences every day. Our episodes today include time travel, double prep, clock time, snow day, and I will read Hans Christian Andersen's New Year's Tale, The Little Match Girl, and Alfred Tennyson's New Year poem, Ring Out Wild Bells. You probably haven't heard that whole poem, but I bet you are familiar with it. Number 766, reminders. A new year is a reminder. It's a bad time to make resolutions. Studies have proven we should wait till the spring. But we do need a reminder. The next year is beginning, and even though many people will wake up in the new year groggy, hungover, and miserable, this may be a great way to greet a new year. It can only get better. I've been especially happy with this last decade since I am so lazy. I only write 9 when I write the year, and I've been complaining to those who care to listen that I will now have to write 2 numbers to make the 10 for 2010. After writing 2 digits for the first 42 years of my life, it was a great break just to write 1 digit. Now I'm back to 2 digits, and I wish I had more important things to complain about. This is the principle behind the show. Abundance is a program designed to offer thanks for the very fact that most of us have very few real complaints. We live in an incredibly rich and wonderful world. There are millions on this earth who would gladly trade places with any one of us listening to this program. We truly don't realize how blessed we are. And I am here to help remind us to give thanks. I have compiled a list of 1,001 things I'm thankful for. I encourage you to make your own list. It is an eye-opening exercise, and I hope as you begin this new year, you're reminded, first of all, of the people who are in your life. Is there a better way to include them in your life this year? We will talk about how to be our best selves at the end of the program. But first, I want to remind you that you and me, well, we're only on this journey for a limited time. I'm glad we could enjoy these moments together. Funny thing happened on the way to Dane Allred. Time travel. I time travel all the time. So do you. Most of us set an alarm to get us up in the morning. Then the next morning, the alarm goes off because you've traveled to the future to remind yourself to get up. My memory is getting so bad, I need to leave myself notes. I'll put a note on the seat of my car in the morning at work to remind me to do something after work. I know many of you use planners to remind us what to do in the future. What if we read a note from ourselves 50 years from now that said, "Don't forget to be happy today"? I like reminders, except when I don't want them. Like a reminder to get a colonoscopy which I know I need but don't want to be reminded about. I don't like it when the dentist reminds me to come and get my teeth cleaned. I don't want to be reminded I need my car inspected and registered. But again, those are good reminders. When I travel in time, most days now it is back in time. I think I'm much younger than I really am, and working with young people most of the time doesn't help. The time travel machine called a mirror is the one I really hate. When I walk past it, I curse it for the wrinkles it adds to what I still consider my youthful face. But I wouldn't trade the experiences I've gained for renewed youth. Reminders can come in many forms. We learn to like our birthdays less and less as we get older, but they really shouldn't cause us to mourn. We should be thinking about how lucky we are to make it to another landmark. I have some friends who didn't. I'll be sharing another story about Dane Bromley in a minute, but I remember the day I was sitting in my drama class. I was called on the intercom to the office in high school, and my mom was on the phone. She told me that Dane had been hit by a truck and killed. He was walking down the street and a truck hit him. I don't know if the truck was too far off the road or if Dane was walking too close to the road. All I know is he was dead, and I had a sickening, sinking feeling and broke out in tears. I hadn't seen him in years, but we were as close as two guys with the same name could be. I composed myself and went back to class with red eyes. The next week was a blur as I went to the church, the funeral, acted as a pallbearer, and I only remember a little bit about the whole thing. I only have a few things left to remind me about the great times we had together, but this memory is like traveling back to junior high. Since we were both named Dane, not really a common name, we immediately struck up a great friendship. We must have terrorized the halls of our junior high because one day the vice principal came up to both of us as we were sitting outside a classroom on the floor. He asked us why we had been tormenting our student teacher, who up until that point we both thought really liked us. That just shows how clueless we were, and it's probably a good indication of what troublemakers we were. We had caused her to cry, and here we thought she really liked us. But that's the way guys are in junior high. We even used to slug girls we liked. What was that about? But time travel also works both ways. I try not to think about how my grandfather always carried a handkerchief and used to blow his nose pretty often. I now carry a handkerchief, and yes, I do blow my nose more often than I like. Trotsky said it this way: old age is one of the most unexpected things to happen to a man. I guess that includes women, too. But I'm also guessing Leon Trotsky said this in the last part of his life and not the first. The point of all this rambling is that we're on a journey where we get one day at a time, and most of us take it for granted. As Henry David Thoreau said, we should not get to the end of our life and discover we had never lived. Let us live so when our daily reminder to get up in the morning goes off, whether it's an alarm, the sun, or something else, we acknowledge that fact. Let's live. I mean, really live and recognize today is the only day we've been given. As Horace said, seize the day. I hope you've been reminded this day of someone you once knew who was an important part of your life. It may make us value those people we have in our lives today more, since we know we won't be here forever, and neither will they. On a lighter note, sometimes there are reminders we'd rather not get, especially when they remind us we're growing older. So here's your reminder that you don't want today that you may not like. If you're over 50, you need to get a colonoscopy every 5 years. I'm sorry, we do want to keep you around. Funny thing happened on the way to Dane Allred. Double prep. It's kind kind of scary when the doctor tells you to get a colonoscopy, not just because of your age, but because he saw a freckle in your eye. That may take some explanation. A regular eye exam showed a spot on my retina. The optician casually mentioned, this type of spot might be cancerous. That's a jolt to hear. I was really worried and continued to worry until I saw another doctor. He told me it was just benign, a freckle that should be checked every year. And then he casually remarked, I needed to get a colonoscopy since this type of spot was associated with colon polyps. I began to worry again. It's a strange thing to be uncertain. It's a reminder of our mortality, and most of us aren't ready to get off the ride. In the second before the doctor says I'm okay, I'm exactly the same as the second after. So why do I feel so much better just because the doctor says I'm okay? It is a strange thing. We put our trust in doctors. We pay them to tell us how we are. We hope they'll find a pill to fix what we're feeling, and when they tell us what to do, we usually do it. I'm not sure why we have such faith, but we do. Maybe it's a placebo effect. We want to feel better, so we get checked out by a doctor, and then we feel better because we did something. Anything. Well, almost anything. There are other professionals that we trust. Lawyers, judges, teachers, law enforcement, airline pilots, and others are called professionals. What does that word mean? We profess we have a skill. Others believe in our professions of our skill. But we all know some people are better at their jobs than others. I once had a dentist who was not the best. I wound up getting all of the fillings he did replaced by someone else. I've been to another dentist who gave me enough laughing gas that I had an out-of-body experience and was floating in the corner of the room watching him work on me. But now I have a dentist I trust. How do we eventually find where we are comfortable? I've had opticians I trusted, but when one of them told me I had old eyes, these old eyes never saw him again. I was really impressed. My current eye doctor found this freckle in my eye when the others had missed it. I even kept going to him when he left to start his own practice. And why do they call it practice? I don't want to be practiced on. I want my professionals to have practiced on someone else and get to me when they've finished practicing and become an expert. We have a strange list of words we use to describe some of this practice. Aseptic, that means clean. A procedure. This usually involves removing a part of me. Prescription. Here's my best guess at what will fix you. Symptoms. Another word for problems. Developments. Something we didn't expect to happen. Effects. Usually something bad. Aberration. Something really bad we didn't expect to happen. The word practice makes me stop and think about those who consider me a professional at what I do. And it's a reminder to stop and think if I'm doing things which are unprofessional or if I'm undercutting the belief of others in what I do. It's a good checkup for us to do on ourselves every once in a while. So when someone tells you to get ready for a colonoscopy, there are some interesting preparations. You get to be cleaned out, and I will not go into the details. So I got the phone call, and someone said, get ready. So I got ready. I showed up at the hospital at the appointed time, tried to find someone to give me a colonoscopy. It was a Saturday morning, and the place was deserted. My wife and I wandered to the front of the hospital to see if anyone knew what was going on. Someone helped us figure out that no colonoscopies were performed on Saturdays, but I was welcome to come back on Monday to get one, which meant another round of what is affectionately called colonoscopy prep. Yep, I had to do it again on Sunday to be ready for Monday. I was extra clean. You know, the colonoscopy found no polyps, but I was told to come back in 5 years for another checkup. I've had the follow-up since, and now I don't have to go back for 10 years. It was like a reprieve on a death sentence. If you've done a colonoscopy prep, you know what I mean. Especially if you've done it twice in a weekend. I hope you're having a great new year. Today we're talking about reminders, number 766 from my list of 1,001 thanks. And in celebration of the new year, I'd like to offer you my reading of The Little Match Girl by Hans Christian Andersen. For those who didn't remember, this is an interesting story about a girl suffering in life on New Year's Eve. Little Match Girl by Hans Christian Andersen. Most terribly cold it was. It snowed and was nearly quite dark, and evening, the last evening of the year. In this cold and darkness there went along the street a poor little girl, bareheaded and with naked feet. When she left home she had slippers on, it is true, but what was the good of that? They were very large slippers, which her mother had hitherto worn, so large were they, and the poor little thing lost them as she scuffled away across the street because of two carriages that rolled by dreadfully fast. One slipper was nowhere to be found. The other had been laid hold of by an urchin, and off he ran with it. He thought it would do capitally for a cradle when he some day or other should have children himself. So the little maiden walked on with her tiny, naked feet that were quite red and blue from cold. She carried a quantity of matches in an old apron, and she held a bundle of them in her hand. Nobody had bought anything of her the whole livelong day. No one had given her a single farthing. She crept along, trembling with cold and hunger, the very picture of sorrow, the poor little thing. The flakes of snow covered her long fair hair, which fell in beautiful curls around her neck, but that, of course, she never once now thought. From all the windows the candles were gleaming, and it smelled so deliciously of roast goose, for you know it was New Year's Eve. Yes, of that she thought. In a corner formed by two houses, of which one advanced more than the other, she seated herself down and cowered together. Her little feet she had drawn close up to her, but she grew colder and colder, and to go home she did not venture, for she had not sold any matches and could not bring a farthing of money. From her father she would certainly get blows, and at home it was cold too, for above her she had only the roof, through which the wind whistled, even though the largest cracks were stopped up with straw and rags. Her little hands were almost numbed with cold. Oh, a match might afford her a world of comfort if she only dared take a single one out of the bundle, draw it against the wall, and warm her fingers by it. She drew one out. Hush! How it blazed! How it burnt! It was a warm, bright flame like a candle. As she held her hands over it, it was a wonderful light. It seemed really to the little maiden as though she were sitting before a large iron stove with burnished brass feet and a brass ornament at the top. The fire burned with such blessed influence, it warmed so delightfully. The little girl had already stretched out her feet to warm them too, but the small flame went out. The stove vanished. She had only the remains of the burnt-out match in her hand. She rubbed another against the wall. It burned brightly, and where the light fell on the wall, there the wall became transparent like a veil, so that she could see into the room. On the table was spread a snow-white tablecloth. Upon it was a splendid porcelain service, and the roast goose was steaming famously with its stuffing of apples and dried plums. And what was still more capital to behold was the goose hopped down from the dish, reeled about on the floor with knife and fork in its breast till it came up to the poor girl, when the match went out, and nothing but the thick, cold, damp wall was left behind. She lighted another match. Now there she was, sitting under the most magnificent Christmas tree. It was still larger and more decorated than the one which she had seen through the glass door in the rich merchant's house. Thousands of lights were burning on the green branches, and gaily colored pictures such as she had seen in the shop windows looked down upon her. The little maiden stretched out her hand toward them when the match went out. The lights of the Christmas tree rose higher and higher. She saw them now as stars in heaven. One fell down and formed a long trail of fire. "Someone is just dead," said the little girl. For her old grandmother, the only person who had loved her, and who was now no more, had told her that when a star falls, a soul ascends to God. She drew another match against the wall. It was again light, and in the luster there stood the old grandmother, so bright and radiant, so mild, and with such an expression of love. "Grandmother," cried the little one, "oh, take me with you. You go away when the match burns out. You vanish like the warm stove, like the delicious roast goose and the magnificent Christmas tree." And she rubbed the whole bundle of matches quickly against the wall, for she wanted to be quite sure of keeping her grandmother near her. And the matches gave such a brilliant light that it was brighter than at noonday. Never formerly had the grandmother been so beautiful and so tall. She took the little maiden on her arm, and both flew in brightness and in joy so high, so very high. And then above was neither cold, nor hunger, nor anxiety. They were with God. But in the corner, at the cold hour of dawn, sat the poor girl with rosy cheeks and with a smiling mouth leaning against the wall, frozen to death on the last evening of the old year. Stiff and stark sat the child there with her matches, of which one bundle had been burnt. She wanted to warm herself, people said. No one had the slightest suspicion of what beautiful things she had seen. No one ever dreamed of the splendor in which, with her grandmother, she had entered on the joys of a new year. The Little Match Girl by Hans Christian Andersen. I hope your new year is better than hers. You may be inspired by the words of Alfred Tennyson, and you've probably sung some of these verses. Ring Out, Wild Bells by Alfred Tennyson. Ring out, wild bells, to the wild sky. The flying cloud, the frosty light, the year is dying in the night. Ring out, wild bells, and let him die. Ring out the old, ring in the new, ring, happy bells, across the snow. The year is going, let him go. Ring out the false, ring in the true. Ring out the grief that saps the mind for those that here we see no more. Ring out the feud of rich and poor. Ring in redress to all mankind. Ring out a slowly dying cause of ancient forms of party strife. Ring in the nobler modes of life, with sweeter manners, purer laws. Ring out the want, the care, the sin, the faithless coldness of the times. Ring out my mournful rhymes, but ring the fuller minstrel in. Ring out false pride in place and blood, the civic slander and the spite. Ring in the love of truth and right. Ring in the common love of good. Ring out old shapes of foul disease. Ring out the narrowing lust of gold. Ring out the thousand wars of old. Ring in the thousand years of peace. Ring in the valiant man and free, the larger heart, the kindlier hand. Ring out the darkness of the land. Ring in the Christ that is to be. To Abundance. This is Dane Allred. I appreciate the opportunity to share with you what I consider some of the great abundance of this world, including pieces like Ring Out Wild Bells by Alfred Tennyson and The Little Matchstick Girl by Hans Christian Andersen. If you'd like to listen to these and others that I've recorded, you can find those on Podbean at daneallred.podbean.com. I appreciate those all around the world who are following this program by listening and tuning into those podcasts. We have listeners in Seoul, Korea, in Sweden, Germany, the Philippines, all around the world, and I appreciate your support. You're welcome to share those with anyone you think needs to hear what we've been talking about here on this program. We'd like to hear from our listeners on KTKK. I'd appreciate your call today at 801-254-5855, 470-5855, or 670-5855. Tell the audience of abundance about your abundant life, maybe about your favorite reminder. I'm extremely thankful for this opportunity I've been given to host Abundance, a show designed to give you that positive boost we all need as we prepare to face a new week. Call me today and share your version of how great life really is. Abundance is broadcast at this same time each Sunday night from 7 to 8 p.m. Mountain Standard Time on KTKK 630 a.m. But you can also hear Abundance on the internet at www.k-talk.com or in any web browser, enter KTKK. Click on the Listen Now Starburst and you'll be hearing Abundance crystal clear off of your browser. I love being positive, seeing the good and even the bad things that happen to all of us. I am your host, Dane Allred, and I believe you can change your life and the world by celebrating the joy, the happiness, and the positive parts of this wonderful journey we call life. You're listening to Abundance on KTKK. It is 40 minutes past the hour. To help people get to know just what you offer. When we do a podcast together, we'll use as much as an hour to fully detail just what everyone should know about your product, your company, or your talents. A podcast is a product broadcast created right here at KTKK and broadcast worldwide. But the best part is, I'll make an MP3 of the podcast. I'll give it to you on a CD, and I can show you how to put it on your website. So anyone who wants to listen to it, anywhere in the world, at any time, can do just that. One click, and they'll be listening to you and I discuss anything you want to discuss. In our interview, you'll tell me what is most important for your customers to know. A podcast, just you and me and millions of potential customers waiting to hear why they need you and your product. Call KTKK today and arrange for your very affordable podcast. Funny thing happened on the way to Dane Allred. Clock time. Clocks are a reminder of where we are in our day. I wonder what it must have been like when there were only 10 clocks in a village instead of 10 clocks in my kitchen. None of them ever have the same time. I wonder if listening to the town clock tower ring the parts of each hour gave villagers a comfort of the exactness of time. I like the movie The Gods Must Be Crazy. There is one part where the narrator talks about the concept of time to a Kalahari bushman. There is no Monday, no 8 a.m., no quitting time, no deadlines about this hour, this day, this minute. Some things can be done this week. Some can wait until next week. No rush hour, no such thing as late to work, no overtime, and no such thing as clocks. Clocks have been a useful thing to standardize our world. How can you leave Japan at such and such an hour and arrive in New York at a particular time unless there's a way to keep track of the seconds, the minutes, the hours, and the days? The atomic clock keeps track of microseconds, and every year or two we have to adjust the world clock because the Earth doesn't spin in an orderly and timely manner. It doesn't know that slowing down a bit screws up our clock, but then the Earth probably doesn't care if we have to reset our clocks. Here's the problem with time. I teach students who are three times younger than me, and I like to play a mind game with time with them. Here's the scenario. Say I am your teacher, and I am 45 years old. If you are 15, then I am three times your age. If you add 15 years to both of our ages, then I will be 60, and you will be 30. I will be only twice as old as you. I tell my students if I live long enough, you'll eventually catch up and maybe even pass me. I like to wait for them to try and understand how I can be three times as old and only twice as old. And on some of their faces, you can see they start to fear I might be right, that they would continue to age and pass me by. I even say to them that I will patiently wait while eventually they get older than me. Most of the students do look skeptical, though. I don't really carry a watch. I do have the time on my phone, which is another strange development. When you ask someone what time it is, now instead of looking at their wrists, they dig out the cell phone and they tell me the time. One cool feature is that my phone can be updated with the correct time. What is the correct time? Well, it's beamed to my cell phone from some cell tower, which gets it from some satellite somewhere or something like that. I still don't trust it, but it is the official time. It still makes me wonder what happened back in the day. I can see the close approximation of noon. The sun is straight above. You could use a sundial if the sun was shining. I don't really know when we became so preoccupied with time, but as we mark this new year, just remember it's just an artificial date, chosen from all the available dates we could have begun our calendar with. If January 1st is too soon to begin the year for you, then celebrate the Chinese New Year on the 26th of January. Oh, sorry, that was 2009. And the Chinese New Year begins on February 14th in 2010. I guess it can be any time between late January and early February. It's the year of the tiger in the Chinese calendar, in case you were wondering. There are New Year celebrations in March, April, in the fall. There were even two in the Islamic calendar in 2008. Well, not two for them. They had one, but during our year, they had two. I guess you can see how confusing it can be. Even worse, if you're paying attention on New Year's Eve, you will realize many, many people will celebrate the arrival of that fateful hour before you. Time zones are another thing I really wonder about. You step one direction, and it's an hour later or earlier. One step one way or the other, and it's another day. This is why those who are really wise tell us to live in the moment. That way, you're never late, since that moment is now. I mean, now. Maybe now. Really, though, living in the moment means paying attention. And if that means enjoying the tradition of marking a new year, you will have to pay attention to that moment. May your new year bring all the hopes and joys you desire. Dan Ara, you're listening to Abundance. I hope you're enjoying today's episodes of A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to Dane Allred. I found that my listeners enjoy listening to my problems, and maybe makes them forget theirs for just a little bit. Next up, Snow Day. A funny thing happened on the way to Dane Allred. Snow Day. I live where there are seasons. I really do feel sorry for people who don't. The seasons really do help me mark time, and they are a reminder of how little time we really have on this wildly spinning planet. You may sit on the beach in California thinking you have all the time in the world, but remember, we are flying through space at 67,000 miles per hour on our yearly journey around the sun, and each day we have to spin at 1,000 miles per hour to make it from night to day. A reminder about the passing of each season is a great thing. I lived in California for 2 years, making the mistake of moving there in August. It was August there for 2 years. This winter, we've been blessed with great snow, both the light powdery kind and the heavy sticking kind. I've shoveled snow already, and at least once before the winter ends, I will have to go skiing. It took me almost 18 years to ski. My friends in high school took me to the top of the lift and left me. I made it down somehow. I try to ski every year, especially when I'm getting really down about the cold and the snow. It changes my attitude about how wonderful snow can be. When you're falling down the mountain without falling, but are controlling that fall by using a couple of boards strapped to your feet, with the wind rushing in your face and the snow blowing around you, well, there really is no way to describe that feeling. It's an exciting, compelling rush of feeling, much like those times you sped down the hill on a sled or a tube. It's a way of being cold without feeling the cold, of feeling the exhilaration of gravity, speed, and control. So later, when you're out shoveling another foot or two of snow, it's a good reminder of the great reason for snow. At least once this winter, I will see two or three frozen road workers trying to put some asphalt in a hole in the road, and I will utter thanks that I get to work in a warm building all day. So why is it so exciting to make yourself cold by sliding down a mountain? I think it's a great reminder of how most of the things in life are relative, It's a great reminder. Our attitude usually dictates how we're feeling about any particular moment. We can be strapped to skis and enjoying the ride, or we can be freezing on the way to work in a less than warm car with a soft top. It's still the same weather, climate, and temperature. It's an arbitrary decision. It's also an arbitrary decision when we decide to hate Mondays. And one of my colleagues has correctly pointed out it's a miserable way to spend one-fifth of our working years. Bill Cosby has observed that his employees are in pretty bad shape by Monday, and it's probably a good thing the weekend isn't longer. Just remember, it really isn't a Monday, just an arbitrary name we give an arbitrary part of what we call a week. We pass from one season to another without even paying attention at times. Don't let the wonder of winter pass you by without some kind of acknowledgement. We were put here to pay attention. Don't get me wrong, there are times when we need to pay attention, or we will end up doing cartwheels down the mountain in the snow. Not a metaphor, by the way. And this was back in the day when skis were attached to you by short cords, not designed with snow brakes. This means as I was cartwheeling down the mountain, my skis were flying around my head, banging me on my back and my knees and my head. That was only my second time skiing, and my ski pass was also scraped off my jacket. I went home and lived to ski another day. But there are also days when you are standing on the top of the mountain, looking down into the valley miles below, thinking about the hustle and bustle going on every office, on every road, and everyday life. The wind is blowing lightly up from the slope below, and some of the loose snow is blowing in your face. Normally, not a very pleasant thing. But since you're about to hurtle down the mountain at slower speeds than most on the hill, and it still feels fast to you, it is a time to realize there's more to life than complaining about the snow, or the wind, or the rain, or the heat. Try to enjoy the wintry frostiness. In 6 months, it'll be 101 degrees. Thank you so much for listening today. Abundance is brought to you every Sunday night from 7 to 8 p.m. on KTKK AM 630, The Voice of Utah. These programs are also available at my website, daneallred.com. That's daneallred.com, or just type my name, Dane, daneallred, into a browser. These podcasts are also available at daneallred.podbean.com and the blog version at 1001thanks.blogspot.com. I appreciate those who are listening this day, all around the world. Find ways this week to be your best self, make a positive contribution, yearn to be better, believe in your potential, exercise, smile, trust in the creative, specialize, expect great things to happen, learn from others, and fearlessly forge forcefully forward. The phrase, my best self, is the start of each of those ideas. In my motivational presentation, Be Positive, More Than Just a Blood Type, I focus on how to be our best selves, and the phrase, my best self, represents the following ideas, with each letter of my best self starting each idea. In the word my, M represents make a positive contribution. Y means we yearn to be better. In the word best, B stands for believing in your potential. E means we exercise. S stands for smiles. T means we trust in the creative. In the word self, S represents specialization. E means we expect great things to happen. L means we learn from others. And F tells us to fearlessly forge forcefully forward. You may have heard someone say, we need an attitude of gratitude, but we aren't just thankful in abundance. We don't just have an attitude. We practice gratitude by expressing thanks each week. We celebrate the joy and excitement of living in this wonderful world. Join me again for another episode of Abundance.